Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Starting today in New York, gun owners must register assault or semi-automatic weapons, and they can't load more than 7 rounds in magazines except at a firing range or a competition. Also today, the Supreme Court said it would not hear a challenge to an older New York state law that requires people who want to carry guns in public to prove they have a special need to protect themselves. So there you have two victories for gun control advocates. In Washington this week, the Senate will begin debate on the most significant gun legislation in nearly 20 years. And while gun control backers are saying they're not sure if they're going to get a victory here with the legislation that includes that amendment extending background checks, there's another agreement being worked on, quietly, behind the scenes, that lawmakers from both sides of the aisle are finding a lot to agree on. It's an amendment that would expand services for the mentally ill. New York Times congressional reporter Jeremy Peters has been reporting on this story, and he joins us now from D.C. So, Jeremy, put this in context. How big a deal is this amendment?
Well, it's one of the most, it'll be one of the most, assuming it passes, significant pieces of legislation to deal with mental health in years. And that is an opportunity that advocates for the mentally ill spotted early on in this process and realized, you know, this is probably the best shot we're going to get at getting something done.
Well, this is why they got involved, because many in the mental health community were wary about connecting, you know, mental health issues with gun violence. They say when the mentally ill do commit violence, it's usually against themselves. But you spoke with several leaders in the movement. Tell us more about why they felt, you know, that initial wariness, why that was pushed aside by this amendment.
Well, I think that they saw this opportunity not coming around again for a long time. And, you know, as distasteful as it may be to ride on the back of a tragedy like Newtown and associate, you know, risk the association of mentally ill people with, you know, horrible acts of violence, you know, sometimes you have to just take the opportunity that you get.
Yeah. Well, and so it sounds like a big deal. We want to hear more about it, this chance in a lifetime, some people are saying, of getting significant improvement to treating mental health. A big deal and a bipartisan deal. Why haven't we heard more about it? I remember thinking that as I was reading your reporting on Saturday.
Well, I mean, if you think about how gun control tends to get covered in the media, by and large, there's a focus on the efforts to restrict gun ownership, ammunition purchases, and the like. And, you know, quite frankly, those are sexy stories. They're sexier than, say, you know, a proposal to provide funding for additional mental health centers to be built. And, I mean, when Dianne Feinstein holds a press conference where she's standing against a backdrop of scary-looking machine guns, or you have cable news outlets hiding on cameras in their bags and going into gun shows and buying illegal weapons, yeah, that kind of makes for more eye-grabbing journalism than something as bland as policy and appropriations.
Well, it's not bland to families of the mentally ill and the mentally ill. Tell us more about what is being worked on in the amendment, what's possibly being offered.
Well, there are a couple of different proposals. I mean, and this is one of the more striking things about this debate, is that, you know, as we've been focused on, you know, the assault weapons ban, which doesn't stand a prayer of passing the Senate, the elements of the gun legislation that would restrict the size of magazines, for example. The Senate committee has already passed a bill that would put, for example, money into schools for training teachers on how to spot signs of troubled students. There's another plan that's also got the attention of Harry Reid and is being pushed for very aggressively by Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan that would add funding for the construction of new community mental health centers. And, you know, this is these are things that are, you know, would mark a substantial improvement to the mental health system.
Sure. Two Democratic senators, Debbie Stabenow of Michigan and John Tester of Montana, are putting this forth, but as you say, attracting a lot of support from key Republicans like John Cornyn of Texas. But also, we heard last week Democratic leader Harry Reid talking so emotionally about his own father's suicide by gun. Now, some are saying, and you allude to this, that this amendment about expanding mental illness treatment might be a cynical way for politicians who don't want to vote for any any other kind of, you know, for gun control, to get some cover, to vote for something. But it sounds as if this is also very personal for a lot of lawmakers.
Well, it is very personal. And, you know, you raise a good point, because let's face it, as good as this would be for the mentally ill in this country, it's also very politically easy. It's not a risky vote to take. I mean, even senators who are wary of appropriating any money nowadays because of the, you know, the, this focus on cutting government spending, they're willing to go along with this. Now, it remains to be seen what ultimately happens with this legislation, because like so much of gun control, this is completely up in the air. I mean, we don't know what form of gun control that the Senate is going to even take up.
Right, and this is about expanding care, but we're reminded when we look back over recent mass shootings. In Arizona, the shooter was kicked out of his own school because of concerns about his behavior, but they weren't required to report him. Mm-hmm. The Virginia Tech shooter was getting care for mental illness, but there were cracks that he fell through as well. So just very, very briefly, are people also saying, fine, expand the care and the services, but there has to be a tightening of the way these people, you know, have background checks or are viewed when they go to buy guns?
Well, the problem is that's very hard to do.
Yeah.
If for somebody like James Holman, the Aurora, Colorado shooter, his psychiatrist, for her to be able to report that into some kind of government database, I mean, think about that. That you would be, you know, arguably breaching a serious breach of
sure.
patient-doctor confidentiality. And, you know, at what point, what criteria do you establish to report these people into the system?
But it sounds as if the people behind this amendment are saying, let's not let them get that far. Let's give them the care they need.
Yeah.
Jeremy, I'm going to have to hold you up there, but terrific reporting. We'll link people to it. Jeremy Peters of The New York Times, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.